Right now, it is time to bring in Ruth Epstein, who covers our area for the Republican American. Ruth joins us on a Monday morning. We take a look at stories we're covering and coming up. Good morning, Ruth.
Hi, Marshall. How are you this morning?
Relaxed after a nice, quiet Sunday. Even though it was a little damp yesterday, still it was a nice, quiet Sunday.
And yes, and a little chill in the air, which was nice.
It did have that chill in the air. I was speaking to Willie Hallahan early in the morning, and he was planning on going on golfing. He said, "I wasn't expecting these showers." So I said, "Well, then you got to listen to my meteorologist."
That's right. Everybody's got to listen.
So now I got to talk to you about the story that you had in the Republican American of the possible drowning at Mudge Pond, or Silver Lake, as you want to call it. But then it turned into not a drowning.
Fortunately, yes, we got the call to go check it out. So that was Thursday night. We ran over there, and as would be expected, there were loads of rescue crews combing the waters. And after a couple of hours, they determined that there was no drowning after all. But very good news, but had to be safe rather than sorry. And Eric Golden, who is the new fire chief in Sharon, said, you know, he was sort of baptized by fire here with this call, but fortunately everything worked out. And the dive teams from Goshen and Bantam were called, and Lakeville's boat was out there, and they did a really extensive search. Nothing. So, happy ending.
And around here in the lakes, of course, when you think about the danger of the lakes around here, are the weeds that are down below. I mean,
right.
and it's not just hopping into a clear looking, anything but that.
Yeah. So fortunately, a happy ending on that one. We attended an outdoor planning and zoning commission meeting in Canaan last week, and lots of stuff happening. Including approval of the wellness center that's going to be housed sort of across the street from the gas station on Route 44 and 7 there at East Main Street. It's going to be a two-story building and will provide all sorts of medical care for medical, dental, and behavioral health services, and so that PNZ gave it its nod. And it's going to help a lot of people in not having to travel long distances to get their health care. As they mentioned, very few doctors left in this area.
Yeah, and Canaan lost, of course, when Dr. Nelly retired.
This should be a great boon to the community. They won't have to travel to Winston or Torrington. Medicaid patients are certainly welcome, Medicare. And so we'll look for activity starting at that point, I would say, you know, in the not-too-far future. As we were riding up that night, we noticed there's a new stop sign and the corner of, we're at the intersection of 7 and 63, and then I saw people writing on Facebook. It's going to take a while before people realize it's there. This is going north on 63 where it converges with 7. There's a stop sign at 7 that's been there for years, but now we have one on the other side. So this is a warning, folks. There is a new stop sign there, and beware.
You know, I'm very aware of that situation. And Ruth, this is a true story. My brother Mitchell once borrowed. I had a '62 Cadillac. He borrowed it, and he crashed it, just totally destroyed it. When I gave it to him to use one night, my brother Mark said, "You're never going to see your car again." Well, it wound up, I don't know if people remember this, at that same intersection, there used to be a stop sign on 63 when it came into 7, and there wasn't any stop sign on 7.
That's what I've heard.
But there was also an island of these stand-up things like you see in Goshen.
My brother
Mitchell wound up on top of that island. And thank God he had run out of gas. And so when the police came, they couldn't get him for drunk driving because the car was off and he was below the limit. But anyway, what happened was after that happened, they ended up putting a stop sign there.
Huh.
And then that was taken down years later.
So it's probably the Miles Corner, it should be called.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Wow. Interesting. But anyway, now we have two stop signs. So just a word of warning. Little sad news from Falls Village. The Toy Makers Cafe is closing. That's been an institution there for the last 18 years. The Badeaux have run it, and it is a victim of the COVID-19. They said they spoke in their press release of their ages and said it's just not safe for them to be handling customers inside. They could. It's been okay with outdoor service, but once the cold weather comes, they're just at risk. So, and they're willing to help somebody else who might want to open something there. But that was one of the few places in downtown Falls Village, and it's
a big motorcycle stop. Huge,
huge, yeah. Huge. It's a very popular spot, and it's a funky place with. In couches and seating inside, and really good food, and it's really too bad. So another blow because of this pandemic. Looking ahead, Marshall, we have Canaan Board of Selectmen tonight. This is the long postponed meeting where they're going to talk about ordinances. They're proposing a blight ordinance, tax incentive ordinance, and an ordinance on food trucks. So they've been looking for input, and the meeting has been canceled several times because of didn't have the right information, and then it was the power outage. So it is now tonight at 7 o'clock. It's a Zoom meeting. People are welcome to attend. And then tomorrow night, Falls Village Board of Finance, Board of Selectmen doubleheader finally again. That's been postponed on and off again, and so that's on Tuesday. And then Falls Village Planning and Zoning Commission will be meeting on Thursday, and this is a continuation of the talk about the Conservation Garden Memorial Forest up on Music Mountain, and should be an interesting talk. It's an interesting concept, as we have talked about before, and we have the Salisbury Forum on Friday night with Kurt Anderson, who's speaking.
Yep. Yeah, Kurt Anderson used to be here on the radio station. Salisbury Board of Education is meeting tomorrow night with the Zoom meeting at 5:30. I think the Cornwall Board of Selectmen also meeting on the 18th.
Yes, they are. They met last week, and they're meeting again. You're absolutely right. And I've got to be talking with the school administrators this week and get a story on exactly how schools are going to, a final, if you can say final, which doesn't mean anything in this on this subject, about school reopening. We know that the high school is going to start hybrid on this September 8th. From what I'm hearing, the elementary schools are going to be in person. So we're going to get a talk on that. And an interview and see what's happening.
Yeah, it's great minds think alike because I placed a call to Lisa Carter, and I've scheduled an interview with her for some time this week.
Yeah.
We held off as long as possible, but it's now getting so close that I'd like to actually hear the details on this. And I'm also going to ask Lisa, how they get sooner or later, they're going to have to approach the Board of Education, and I think the Board of Education are going to have to approach the finance boards in each town, because I just see a big, big uptick in cost for our school systems to do this safely and do it the right way.
I know I've repeated this over and over, but it's such a crazy time, and who knows? We're living in such uncertainty, and school could start, and then, as she has said, change in an instant and close up or go hybrid or whatever.
Well, you look at the ramifications. Look at the Falls Village pool closed for the season yesterday. Why? Because all six of the lifeguards had to report to UConn for a two-week. They had to be quarantined for 2 weeks, so they lost most of their lifeguards. So the Falls Village pool even had to close for the season, I think, about 2 weeks early.
It's just crazy. We are living in crazy times, so let's hope within the next we see some light at the end of the tunnel in the next few months.
It really has really adapted and changed. But the Toymakers Cafe is like the the canary in the coal mine. There's going to be a lot of businesses around here, and even when it's time to come out of the this virus, I feel sorry for Carol Sadlon at the movie house in Millerton. I mean,
yeah,
she has been closed now. I mean, and yeah, they do have remote screening and everything, but still, she's been closed for 5 months.
5 months.
I mean,
Oh, we're going to see, unfortunately, the demise of many small businesses. They just how can they do this? Especially eateries, if you can't have indoor dining. I mean,
and we're going to go into the wintertime?
Winter, right? It's just, it looks like Divas was a big hit.
Divas was a big hit. It sold out, I know, on Saturday, and I think it sold out on Sunday as well.
Great. Why do we need something like that in these times?
And they've got more shows coming up, so they've managed to find a way to get people in their cars, have fun, and be entertained.
Good.
And it has worked out, and God bless them. They're doing a great job. We need this to take our minds off.
Oh,
all
absolutely.
This.
And the other venue is the drive-in theater, which is doing.
Oh, they're doing extremely well.
Yeah.
Not only with movies, but also they are also having different types of shows. A show that was going to open on Broadway not a real full Broadway show, but the first opening, they couldn't do it in New York City, so they did it at the Amenia Drive-In.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
That's incredible. That's
all right, amazing. There, Ruth.
Okay, Marshall, always good to start the week, and we'll be on top of things. Hopefully it's a quiet, nice week, and, at least get some news worthy, but no drownings or anything, so let's hope.
All right.
Take care.
Take care, Ruth.
You too.
Ruth Epstein from the Republican American with the Republican American Report here on Robin Hood Radio.